Hi, everyone. I'm here to talk about the web, Microsoft Web. I'm talking about Web Gallery, Web Deployment, some IIS extensions. And I'm working at Microsoft Portugal. I'm an architect evangelist. And yesterday, I fly to Brussels. I love to be here, and I met this guy that was in the audience. Oh, it's there. Toon showed me around, showed me the Belgian beer, and I said, well, it would be nice for you to come to my presentation and show some interesting things to our guests. And he said, sure, and here it is. And I needed to change my presentation. So I put Toon's name there, and you have all our contacts. And we start talking about this, and he said, well, we need to change the presentation, because I'm going to talk about Umbraco. And I said, well, Umbraco, I think that's something that comes there in Microsoft Web. I've seen that logo somewhere, so I need a little help from there. And so this is the surprise that we have for you on this presentation. It will not be only Web Gallery, Web Deployment, and some IIS extensions. You are going to listen, and I'm going to listen about Umbraco. So we changed everything. Our plans changed yesterday to a more interactive presentation.
You're going to improvise.
Yes, a bit, only a bit. So I'm going to talk about me.
Well, let me start to take over here. Let me talk about you, and you talk about Belgium. Yeah. So what do I know about this guy? I met him last time. He's from Portugal. What do we know about Portugal? Well, the first things that come up, you know, it's the country on the left of Spain. If you actually Bing them, these are the results you will get after a flag. You get all these nice holiday pictures and a great destination. They have a few things we don't have. For example, they have a football team that made it to the World Cup, and they have this unique thing that we forgot, that a country needs to have a government. So, yeah, really, really, we can do without. Isn't that great?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the few things I know about Portugal. So, what do you know about Belgium?
Yeah, so I consider this and I say, okay, how do Portuguese guys look at Belgium? Because we are very far away, and of course, we know the flag, that's always the start where we pick. Nice flag, you have more colors, great. Oh, but this is the ex libris. Everyone, every Portuguese guy knows this. And then you ask more people, what do you know about those guys there in the north? And they say, they have 600 different beers. So I started yesterday, I'm leaving tomorrow, I still have time to pick on the other 590.
Yeah.
And they have French fries. I said, wow, great. But for me, in a personal level, the great thing that you have and we always think is, this is Europe. I don't know why, but Belgium is Europe for us. And we are Europeans, but this is the home of Europe. If there's a place we call Europe, it's Belgium. Why? Because everyone flies to Brussels to meet other guys from other countries, so Europe must be in Belgium. At a personal level, this great country is the birthplace of bande dessinée or the comics. And I grew up with reading these guys in every language I could pick, so I learned a bit French, so I could watch these guys. And I really appreciate you have, because you give a lot of value to this form of art. But, well, before we start, if you hear something strange, like an acronym that you don't understand, just say, please, what does that mean? I was in holidays, and I saw this nice inscription, and I can't read the fourth line. I don't know what it means. I'm sure the guy did a lot of great things, but I can't understand him. So if I say some free letter acronym that you don't understand, please say, wait, please, what does it mean? What is an IIS? What is that? So I'm here to talk about the web for developers. This presentation is not a technical deep dive on IIS or a deep dive on the web. The purpose is to raise the awareness of what you can do with the web, how you can unleash some potential that you have in your web server. Microsoft is web committed. You know that, we know that. And I was writing this and I thought, well, we are cloud committed. What is the difference between the cloud and web? Whoa, that's a great discussion. We will never stop here in time thinking about this. So let's get back to Microsoft is web committed and go from there. So we have the web platform, and the web is a set of tools, servers, technologies, and all this stuff is optimized to create our great websites, create applications. And today we start to blur the distinction between what is a website, what is an application, where is Silverlight, where is the my HTML page, what should I use? But we really don't care, because what we want is to give you applications, give you the tools, the servers, all the technology you need to do it. And so we have one site where you can get all the information. If you don't want to lose the rest of this hour, you just rush home and you go to microsoft.com/web and you get all the information you need to build sites. So we have one entry point and you can find everything you need for your task. And we continue doing innovation here and improving this. So we had this web platform installer, and the purpose of the web platform installer is to have a single tool where you can install everything you need to run your solutions. And then we have some IIS extensions. Is there anyone who doesn't know what is the IIS? It's our web server. Great web server, best web server in the world. Do I need more to say more? And then you have the tools. And the web platform gives you all the free tools. So you take a free tool to install every free component of your application. And you have your development tools on this. So you get everything. And even you keep up to date on your platform. So it simplifies you everything. Finding applications, finding the products you need to run everything, and you don't understand that you are installing software because it's doing everything under the hood, and your updates are installed inside the application. So the installer gives you from the server to the extensions that we are going to talk a bit more in after this, the tools, and the technologies. And in the end, you have the web application gallery, because you are using this and you are running the web API only to find applications, only to install applications. That's the end, that's the main reason why you are using this. So when you go to the web application gallery, you select something like, I want a CMS, and something appears, this funny logo, and you say, okay, logo. I want to install this.
It's Umbraco.
This is Umbraco?
Absolutely. Who knows about Umbraco in this room? Let me try to see how many hands. That's about 10 hands going up. That's a good start. Maybe if you want to fire up your Internet Explorer 9. I can show a few examples of Umbraco sites, because without knowing it, there's over 75,000 Umbraco websites running live at this moment. For example, that you can just go to tabs to the right slowly. So these are all examples of different Umbraco websites. If you go to ASP.net, who's been on that website? I expect to see all the hands go up. That's an Umbraco website. Umbraco is an open source .NET content management system. It was started 5 years ago, and there's as you can see, huge amounts of sites. I'll just quickly run you through them so you can see.
Sorry. Yeah. This is made in ASP.NET.
This is made in .NET.
This is made in .NET. Yes. So Umbraco is running beneath.
It's fully, it's fully okay. transparent, both of them. Yeah. You have Wired, Co. UK, which is running Umbraco. You have, for example, Heinz Ketchup. You're mashing their tomatoes, and it comes out in... You have ABBA, and this, the core team came from up north, in Northern Europe, so I suppose that was an easy fit. You have Hasselblad. You have local websites, because we're very international. For example, IJsburke, which everybody in Belgium knows, ice cream. That's an Umbraco website. You have sites in every industry, for example, Casius, Belgian web platform.
What?
So there's a lot of websites running this open source CMS system. You can see they all look very different, but under the hood, they're running on the same platform. And so if you go
great.
Back to the if we go back to the presentation, I can give you a few examples why, for example, developers are actually loving this site. So there's full support for your own .NET controls. It's got a documented API. It's well, open source. It's a full open source MIT license. So there's no no hidden bits there or drawbacks. It's made by developers for developers, and there is a very active community. And that's why I'm here. I'm a Belgian member of this community, and I would really love you guys if you go home that you take a look at this project, and you will see. If you have a question, you fire it up in the forum or via our umbraco.org, and you'll get questions in no time, responses in no time. So it's really lovely. Designers, they love it because there's no limits to design. As you've seen earlier on, all these designs are very different, but there's a super simple template engine inside. You can do whatever the designer comes up with, you can implement it. Everything is web standards, so you're using CSS, XHTML, you use XSLT transformation, so it's well, really fully standard supporting everything, and it has support for accessibility standards. Editors love it because it's simple. You get what you see is what you get editor. People that can save a document in Word, well, they can now post content on the internet. And there's even integrations via Word. And it's got versioning and scheduled content. So I prepare a post today, and I want it to appear on midnight. Well, I don't have to be around to publish that. It will just go online automatically. We were planning to do a demo of the backside of Umbraco to show you under the hood what it looks like from a developer perspective. But the internet is so slow, I must say, that it's not really usable to take you through it there. But if anybody is interested, I'm willing to invite you to the
Buch.
I'll quickly say a little word about that. There's a Belgian Umbraco user group. You can go to the website, buch.be, and we've got a few events coming up. So if you follow that one or you enlist yourself, you get invited and you can get some more hands-on experience with Umbraco.
Yes, but let me think about this, because I would love to install Umbraco. So what I would do is I would get to the Microsoft.com/web, and I would get started and get the web API to install software. And the good part is that I've already installed web API, and so it gets here. And now let me see if I have... This is the central console for administration of the IIS, and...
You've got another instance running.
I have it already
so
running.
That one
sorry.
First.
I will not run it inside there. So I called the web platform installer, and from here I can choose how I approach the problem. If you are an hardcore developer, you are starting thinking, what tools do I need? Do I need web server? Do I need SQL? Do I need this and that? If you are looking for the solution, you are going to the gallery and to the web applications and search for what you need. So what I'm going to search is I need a CMS, and I go here, and okay, Umbraco is here. I want this. I can, I can ask for more information on this product, and we'll get the logo, and we'll get all the information now in English. And I could just say, okay, let's install this. I will not install this because it will take some time. But I will install this.
You get an interesting choice there. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's actually looking at the prerequisites. Yeah. So do you have IIS installed, or are you going to use the web platform installer, web server itself? And afterwards, it's going to see, okay, I need to install the Umbraco CMS. Is there a database on here or not? In your case, apparently, you've got SQL running, but otherwise, it will suggest that you install SQL Server.
Should I install SQL to show?
No, you shouldn't. I think they can trust us on that one. They can try it at home. They will.
So there, all the dependencies, all the updates I need will show up there. And I just say install. And it will take some time because it will pick maybe SQL from the web, everything. It will download all the free editions and put this thing running. I will not do this now. I think you got the point of this. So this is a way of doing things, or I could say I want to know the tools. I want to see if I need this tool or that tool. You could take the different approaches. But if you take the first step is, I want to install Umbraco, you just pick the application and you will get everything. But after a while, you get used to this and you say, I want to do more development, so maybe I need the WCF RIA Services Toolkit. And you could go there and pick it and it will keep it up to date. So this is the installer. The other place, I will close this and now I know that he is accessible through my console. I could go here. And you would get to the web, get the XML file with the latest configurations, and you would start from here. But I will leave this, and I will get
to
this tip.
There's actually an important tip. If you don't choose to take the luxury of having the web platform installer do this for you, and you install everything manually yourself, you have to remember on your own development machine that you grant the right authority. So everyone has to have full control in your init pip folder. And you shouldn't forget to activate mixed mode authentication on your SQL server. So that's very important. Otherwise, you'll have a hard time getting the site up on your development laptop. Of course, in production, that's a different story. But.
Okay. So let's talk about web servers. I was jumping in joy with the IIS and all the good things that I can use if it keeps running. So this is an ad of IIS. It manages ASP.NET, PHP, and everything in between.
What's in between? There's nothing in between there, right? I love marketing.
you have the comma there.
Okay.
Of course, it's more. The question is, if you have a PHP site and you put it running on IIS, you can manage both your ASP.NET sites and PHP sites. So imagine that you go after WordPress and you want to install it because you go to the API, you install WordPress, and you have Umbraco there too because they have two different targets. You can have only one place to manage everything. And IIS is running, every version of IIS is running software faster and management tools are getting better and better on this. So when we have our IIS, Window Internet Information Services, we have more control on what is running on my server. It's going more and more reliable. It's more secure. You know that stuff. You know that we need to build software more secure. And now you have more choices and more extensions. So that's the part that we are going after. But when I talk about the IIS, you may ask, well, we have free web servers, right? We have the IIS, we have the IIS Express, we have the IIS Developer Express, and we have Cassini. Because when you take Visual Studio, you install a web server with Visual Studio. And then you have the IIS, that's the full feature edition. And the problem with developers, and if you go to next room to listen to Arturo Toledo, he is talking now about the IIS Developer Express, but I will just give you a glimpse on what is the difference. Because developers ask, I need a IIS that is as similar to the production one, where I put my things on my Windows Server 2008. And so there are a few differences that I will just talk about. First, it comes installed in the Web Matrix. Web Matrix is a set of tools, a database engine, web applications, and a web server designed to help you develop solutions. WebPI is designed to help you install things. The web matrix has different targets and different tools. And IIS Developer Edition or Developer Express comes in web matrix. So it gives you the ability on the same machine to do multi-developer support. It's not a process that's running on the machine. You can act over it. You can launch sites. You don't need a lot of permissions or administrative permissions to use it. So a normal user, a normal developer can do any task. Well, we don't have FTP there. Does anyone care about FTP a lot? Is FTP still very important? Okay, that's good. But the bad news is not yet integrated with Visual Studio the way that we would love to, so we are working on this. And there are already some extensions running on this edition. So one thing, and this is just a bracket, do you know about failed request tracing rules on IIS? Because that's a thing that usually you have inside the IIS, and people don't activate it and don't use it. What it allows you to do, and this is just a small detail, let me just close this thing, is that you take your console, and you have the, sorry, I have a problem with, because this is not on dual screen, and you can create rules for any process. Let's say that for any request that you get on your web server, you say that any 404, I want to trace what happens with this message. So now if I do a HTTP localhost blah blah dot ASPX, he will trace this request. And it will take care of all the message, everything that was happening in the server. And sometimes we have a lot of problems because we need to trace what is happening. And with this, I can get information because it provides me an XML file where I have the detail of all the activity the user was doing. So I get an XML file that has a SSL associated. So I can, if I view it in my browser, I get a nice window where I can try to debug the message. So here I have a request that was a request for a page that was not found, and I can get all the information about this request. I have the complete request trace. I have the filters. I have a performance view. The kind of authentication. Everything that was together at that moment. And sometimes
this helps you to be proactive. You don't have to wait for the user to complain and say, hey, these are ugly pages, 404s, what's happening? You can already see them coming.
And you can trace other messages, not only the 404. Mm-hmm. So this is just something that is not an IIS extension. You don't need to search for anything complex to solve some kind of easy tracing on your solution. The IIS extensions are a lot of them. So as you see, this is the first page of three. So we have extensions for different purposes. Tools applications, if you want to run PHP, you need a fast CGI. If you want to do caching, if you want to handle requests, you do the URL rewrite. Well, URL rewrite is something that you have already now inside ASP. .NET, so you don't care much about this. But if you have PHP or you are dealing with other languages, that could be interesting for you. The same about the application request in routing, where you can use the web farms and load balancing the requests. Maybe you don't need to have hardware designed for this. And then you have security, like dynamic IP restrictions.
Can it be used if you have a brute force attack on a login page or something? Can you restrict that?
Yeah. So dynamic IP restrictions is great for some kind of hacking on your page. So if you have someone that is trying to get brute force password, putting a lot of pressure on your page, you can dismiss it using this solution. You can specify the amount of time that you consider that you are having a brute force and the number of attacks on the same page. That's a way of dismissing things. The URL scan gives you the ability to scan all the URL searching for some kind of attack or misuse of the page. Then you have extensions for publishing content or for deployment and migration, web deploy, and I will talk more about web deploy. And you have extensions for serving media, and I will talk more about this later. And then you have all the management. This is IIS for developers, not for managers, IIS managers, hardcore managers. So I will not go on administration pack, advanced logging, database manager. By the way, database manager, you can take your database and replicate your database in other databases, SQL Server or MySQL. And I will talk about Search Engine Optimization Toolkit, and you know Web Platform Installer, and you have the PowerShell Toolkit, like all the software that needs to be managed has to. So I will talk briefly about these three points: media services, search, and web deployment. Media services, I think you already know everything about media services. You have seen these demos. I will not show demos on this. You have seen this thousands of times by Microsoft guys, I suppose. Do you? The NBC Olympics, the old Silverlight streaming, and no? Yes. Is there anyone who has never seen a streaming or Silverlight demo showing how you can stop the image, go ahead on your movie, and get back there very fast? Okay, if there's anyone, I will show you that in the end. Just come to us and we will show you that. But this is made in a curious way. What happens is that the media server takes your video file, takes it in different bit rates, and breaks it on the web server, and then it delivers what you need. So you are looking at a movie, and then you jump ahead, and then you get there, and he will deliver the closest shank he has, and he will start with the lowest bit rate it can. And then he will watch the network conditions and CPU of the client machine and will start delivering the highest bit rate it can deliver. So that's why it starts very fast, because the image or the movie is breaked in chunks inside the server. It's a bit like Deep Zoom. I was talking about this, and it's like almost like a Deep Zoom, where you have the image breaks in tiles where you can use this. So having this technology, you can do a lot with fewer servers than you were used to in other technologies. So you have all these nice features and movies that you can use with. And then we have search. And search is something that I think is crucial for a web developer.
Who as a developer has had requests on search engine optimization when you were building websites? I'm looking, trying to think, that's like half the room.
Yeah.
So this, our customers and our companies are spending a lot of money on building these sites, and then we want to have traffic. We want the search engines to pick them up, and we want to get as much out of the box and use what the search engines like. So what are the typical things that search engines like about a nice web page? Come on, it's the end of the day. Something. Metadata, yeah, they like it. So title tags, very important. The description, that sort of stuff. It used to be more important than it is now, they say, because it's a huge black box and what's happening in the search engines, how do you do this. But everybody knows that, that good URLs, well-structured URL, good HTML pages with a nice title do a lot of good. Yeah. So it's important when we build our websites that we keep in mind that they're going to get crawled and indexed. And so there's a lot of things you can do there.
So if I were a search engine, yeah. I would go to your site.
Yeah.
And what would I look after? What was the first thing that I'll take your page and...
You will look at the content, the written text content, and mm-hmm. you will see how unique is this, how many other people are linking into this page. That's how I'm going to determine how important this page is. How much weight do you give within your own site to this page? Are you linking from the home page to this deep link page, or are you just do you just have it in your sitemap and there's no internal links to it? And the search engine will say, well, you just put the page there for me, so I'm not even going to show it up in the index. And
if you have repeated content, I would give it a less persuasion.
People know about duplicate content. If you've ever been hit by duplicate content, it's quite a dangerous one, yeah? So it's when you have the same content on two separate pages in your website, then the search engine might think that you're trying to fool them. And you say, like, hey, I already have this page somewhere else, so I'm going to give you a punishment now. You're trying to fool me, so your site is trying to fool my search engine, so I'm actually going to give you less traffic from now. I'm going to show you on the 106th page instead of my first page result page. So, search result page. So it's very important to avoid duplicate content. Now, from a developer point of view, you can say, yeah, what can I do about this? You know, if the content people decide to have two pages with the same content, okay, that's not my responsibility. But actually, if you look at it, a lot of mistakes, and who's ever had a page rank zero, for example, due to a technical migration? Anybody wants to admit this? I'll put up my hand. Nobody else? Well, then I'm the only one who screwed around with that. But for example, something really stupid you can do when you migrate a site and you keep both the www domain name and without www, and they both resolve to a page, Google will actually think, or Bing, or whatever search engine you prefer, will think this is the same page on two locations. They know it's the same content, and it already becomes dangerous. So there's all sorts of things. There's special tags you can use when you have duplicate content, because sometimes you have it. If you have a big e-com website, and you have the same shirt, and you have it in black and in pink, you will have the same description. The only difference will be the label black and pink. And for the rest, it will be the same description. So there are ways to show Google, now this actually is a duplicate page. I only want you to index the black one, for example. Yeah? Or I only want you to take care of this or that. So it's there is a lot there, and it's actually a lot more technical if you want to get this done well over a whole site than the content people often understand. So 301 redirects, permanent redirects, extremely important when you migrate websites and you have these old destination pages and they still reside somewhere and they're in the cache and in the memory, and there's lots of external links that are still going to these old pages. It's very important that you learn the search engine. Now, it used to be there. Right now, the same page is living on here. But please keep the reference and keep my ranking that you gave to that old page. So search engine optimization, a very important part, even for the technical developers, to take care of this when you design and implement and migrate websites.
So is the description used or important as it was in the beginning of the web?
Yeah.
Beginning of the web is a curious concept. But is the there's a page that says this is the end of the web, right? You know, you all know that page, like the web ends here. But we were used to put all the meta tags saying this is the description of my site.
It became a lot less important. The people in the know tell us. So the mm-hmm. the self-proclaimed SEO gurus, they say that many of those descriptions, the search engine ignore them, and they just look at the real content that you're showing up to the user. So the basic is make a good site with good content for a human user, and the search engine will also like it if you speak in the right language and use the right keywords to attract your human visitor, I will call them.
So after the page, I have two things that are essential. A robot, TXT.
Yeah, a robot text is important. And certain parts of your site you don't want to get crawled, you can exclude them.
And the sitemap.
Sitemap, very important.
So the crawler knows where to go or and where not to go.
Yeah.
If I have closed pages due to authentication, right? So if you are developing Silverlight, you know that in the beginning this was a problem, because when we had Silverlight 1 or 2, we could not go inside our pages. And now Silverlight has evolved, and you can use Silverlight and even expose the content to crawlers. So people must be aware of malware, hidden text, too many arguments, login pages, redirects, and all that points. So the toolkit that this extension provides us help us looking at the sites and understand what is wrong. And if you download it, you can use it to query any site. So let me change to this place. I need to go here again to my website, and I have it here. Can you help me, because I'm blind on this side? Okay.
Yeah.
I have it here, and
analyze.
I can analyze. Oh, sorry. I can go here and just say, okay, let's say any site. Do you want to choose a site?
ASP.net.
Okay. Let's go here. And okay, this is my, I'm searching for my site, and it will give me something like broken. Sorry, I'm using it against my site, and of course you will say that I'm not doing the right things, because I'm analyzing my own site. So what he will do is he will check all the URLs. That's what he's doing now. Sorry, I didn't do what you
There's
intended
no problem.
To.
I would have liked to have seen an analysis of that website. There's external web services that actually do this. If you're ever interested to do that,
but
there's websites where you can type a URL and see how a search engine looks at that page. So
it's an Umbraco site, right?
Yeah.
So I can now check the violations, and I'm missing description, and I'm missing some tags. These are warnings only. And I can see what pages have more violations and categories and levels, and analyze the content in the same way, what is happening here, and performance, and all that stuff. That's how this toolkit helps me getting what do I need to work on my site. So this is a tool that you can deep dive on this tool, and it will help you, giving you some knowledge like Tun has on this subject, because it's already there, and it will give you the warnings. Some warnings are really not very serious, but the critical errors are important to look at. And so this is the summary of the toolkit. You can get it in the IIS.net site, where you can find everything about this. The last point about last extension that we need is the web deployment tool. And the web deployment tool is a very, very precious tool for us, because it will help me migrating sites from IIS 6, older sites, to new releases of Windows Server, and in future from the actual releases of IIS to the new ones. And it will help me synchronize sites across a web farm, because it gets all the content, certificates, registry, and it can even change the config files that you have. So I can package my website, create a configuration, and just drop it on the servers of the web farm. Or I can run it as a sync thing, and he will update automatically all the farm. So it will synchronize the sites. You can have it in auto mode, and it will synchronize things only with the changes. You don't get all the package inside, and you can even choose when to do it. This is a very useful tool when you are taking your site and you are giving to somebody else, because you can change and explain where to change the connection strings on a web config, or change the settings from development to configuration. I had some nodes of where the software is, and you usually need to start service when you install it. Just the first time when you install it, you go there and you need to start the service. This is just a reminder. And you have the remote agent service that's on the server that allows you to be managed by the tool. And that's the main purpose of the solution. So, ending. Can you do the honors?
You want me to do the summary?
Yeah.
Okay, well, WebPI comes with the power extensibility of the IIS. And according to Microsoft, that's a winning combination. Web deploy, you can package your web applications easily, synchronize them across farms. We've just seen the deployment features. Then Embraco, that's the one here for.
Wait there, I talk about Embraco.
Okay, now you go. You be my ambassador.
Yeah, so you talk about WebPI and web deploy. So Embraco, it appears to be a great CMS. It is a great CMS. That's the point that usually we lack in searching for a good CMS in Microsoft world. Yeah. Usually you go for WordPress, and WordPress is great, but for a certain aspect and certain solutions, Umbraco is a full-featured CMS. And you have now a version for Azure.
4.5. That's the latest stable one.
Yeah. And IIS 7 is a full-featured web server with all the extensibility you can use. And you can even create your own extensions to IIS. When you have all the events exposed, then you can go over anyone.